It took me about 5 minutes to think about which scripture I would choose to read to say some final blessings over this terrific man's life. Comes to us from what is known as the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel according to Matthew. I'll read chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, the section known as the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Here ends the reading. May God grant us wisdom and courage for interpretation. If ever there was a person who embodied what it means to be a peacemaker, it was Mark. His desire for those in his life to be at peace with one another, to spend whatever energies they had on loving and not fighting, was as strong as anyone I've ever met. The first time I ever met Mark, it was at a church board meeting. I was not the pastor here at this congregation, but the Conference of Churches, our group of churches in Kansas and Oklahoma, had asked me to consult with the church and with the board about ways to strengthen the church's ministry. Mark was always kind and helpful, but I'll tell you something. Mark was a little skeptical of me at first because of this title, consultant. He didn't know me, but he did know this church. And he wanted to make doubly sure I was going to offer ideas and guidance that would truly be in the best interest of this, his beloved church family, before he let his guard down for one single second. Once Mark figured out that I came in peace and was interested only in helping the congregation live up to its own unique and full potential, Mark and I became fast friends. Every so often my phone would ring and it would be Mark, and he would usually start out very politely, "Do you have just a minute?" he would ask. It only took a couple of calls where I started teasing him back. "Now, do you mean one or 30? And that was perhaps an understatement a few times. He always had plenty to say. This coming from a preacher. And the thing is, everything he had to say was deeply meaningful. But one thing that never failed to come through in our conversations was that Mark was always keenly aware of the relationships in his life and of the people he considered his friends and family and spiritual family, friends outside the church, friends inside the church, members of the church. Mark Edward Tanton was born the 8th of July, 1947, in Enid, Oklahoma, to Phil and Imogene Tanton. He and his older brother John moved often as a family in the early years of the boys' lives. Ponca City, Ardmore, Muskogee, eventually Oklahoma City, and then, of course, beyond that as an adult. OKC in this area felt like home to Mark, but as his brother John describes it, Mark was busy making friends and making peace no matter where they lived, all along the way. In junior high school, Mark and John's parents got a divorce. Now, this conflict truly bothered Mark's peace-loving spirit. as a junior high school student in that age. And so he did what Mark seemed to always instinctually do in the face of adversity or conflict. He dug down deep and he developed an extremely close relationship with his mother, who was hurting so badly from that divorce during these remaining years that he had home through high school. Eventually, Mark graduated from John Marshall High School in Oklahoma City. And while he was in school, John says, Mark loved debate, and he was a member of the debate team, to formalize it. Perhaps for a peacemaker, an organized refereed debate was the only acceptable way to bicker. I don't know. After high school, Mark would then go on to study here in Norman at the University of Oklahoma, where he would study French in a wide course load of various subject areas in his liberal arts education that he so treasured. He loved to learn, he loved to reflect, to ponder the luminous web of life, as he called it once in our conversations, and how each part is connected. After his time at OU, Mark ended up doing graduate work in American Studies and Culture at the University of Maryland, specifically in American Literature. After graduate school at Maryland, Mark began teaching college courses, both in Texas and in Oklahoma as well. He loved many things about this teaching. He and I often had conversations when we would share a cup of coffee about teaching and learning and that whole process, but he especially treasured the relationships, it seemed, that he had with students, especially promising, hardworking students. After a while of teaching at the college level, he took a job teaching and administrating at a high school in Garland, Texas. He became the chair of the Language and Arts Department, and now he got to design a curriculum and a course load and be the chair of this department. And it was extremely rewarding to him. Mark remained, you see, even as an adult, a lifelong learner, intellectually and spiritually curious, a student, if you will, of life. And this love for learning and this love for life inspired him to travel and to learn also about other people and other countries and other cultures and various walks of life. Mark got married to his wife, Carolyn, in his late 20s and remained married about 20 years. They had some good years, John says, but they also had some challenging years. Mark remained faithful to Carolyn despite those challenges. Toward the end of their marriage, Mark began awakening to the fact that he was indeed a gay man. Courageously, he came out to a very conservative family in many regards and faced being shamed even by his own mother that he loved so dearly, as well as other members of his various communities. Mark was determined that this would not keep him from loving a single one of them, regardless of what they thought about him. His mother and he remained very close, mostly due to Mark's stubborn and courageous efforts at peacemaking. But his sexual identity as a gay man remained a source of tension always in their relationship. Mark and his brother John were always very close, as John mentioned to you already. John accepted Mark fully and vice versa at every phase of their journeys. And they both considered it a great joy, I know, to share life together, more than brothers. John says they were always friends, never rivals. John, being 5.5 years older than Mark, recalls the day that Mark came home as an infant from the hospital. And from that day until Mark's passing, just a few days ago, they were the best of friends and a source of constant support, joy, and companionship, both one to another. Friends, anytime someone like Mark Tanton comes along, someone so committed to the ties that bind us together, someone so committed to unity, to peace, to equality, to harmony, we had better stop and take note. Mark had a strong, quiet, commanding presence about him. He also had a gift for finding troubled souls along life's journey and taking very serious initiative to provide the love the time, the support, the resources, even the advocacy and the personal involvement to help people in serious times of turmoil and distress to find a new, improved path for their lives. Some of us here can say, yes, I was one that was touched by Mark. He loved deeply and sincerely, even if he didn't like you. He would most assuredly find a way to love you, not just with words, but in deed. And when I expressed interest in interviewing here, when I learned of the opening for pastor at this congregation, I'll never forget the conversation that Mark and I shared. He wanted me to know about the DNA, so to speak, he said, of the church. And we were sitting there sharing a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and he quite gently and tactfully said, I don't know how to say this. I'm not a theologian or a pastor or whatever. He said, but in our church, we're just really committed to living out the teachings of Jesus, and we're kind of more of a Sermon on the Mount kind of a church than all the hocus pocus stuff. We'd rather live out Jesus' teaching and spend our time and energy doing that instead of talking about all the stuff we ought to be thinking about. I smiled from ear to ear. I leaned in and I looked him in the eye over our cups of coffee. I said, that suits me perfectly. Mark Tanton was a Sermon on the Mount kind of Christian. Verses I read a few moments ago from Matthew chapter 5 are the opening verses of what Christians have come to call the Sermon on the Mount, a compilation, if you will, of all of the major teachings of Jesus. Life is too short to bicker about the stuff we should be believing. Mark Tanton taught us we could do far more by living the golden rule than just talking about it. He taught us that instead of talking about making peace in relationships, we should get off our backsides, pick up the phone, or get in the car, leave no room for doubt, and shower the people we love with love. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said, for they will be called the children of God. Mark Tanton, the peacemaker. Some here, you may have known him as a child. Others of us, only as an adult. But Mark was and is and will forever be a child of God, for he was a true peacemaker. He knew the best way to honor Jesus' memory was to act like him, was to imitate him, however imperfectly, but to always strive to live out those teachings instead of just talking about them. And friends, the best way to honor Mark's memory instead of just talking about him is to do the same. Mark, I don't know if you're listening, we have some practice to do, sir, at this peacemaking stuff. But thanks to you, we have a fantastic real-life roadmap. Amen.